CA cross, and there is no E in my name.
So I live in Raleigh, North Carolina now. Originally, I'm from Elizabeth, New Jersey.
What? Wait a second. Hold on. You were down the street from me in Perth Amboy, New Jersey, man?
I sure was.
When did you move to NC?
So I moved to North Carolina in 2000. So, I mean, I've been here for a little bit, but I'm a Jersey boy through and through.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. We could have linked up. But when we were there together, you were probably 6 years old, man.
Yeah, I left when I was 11, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a kid. I didn't know anything.
Yeah, so, I mean, what we would have been doing is I probably would have been trying to sell you a lollipop or something. That's it. But you know what?
I would have tried to sell it to somebody else for a markup.
That's true. And that's what I want to get into, because I read here that you got 12 years of business experience, right? But I did the math. It was simple math, and that puts you at 14 years old. When you started business, what was that like to know that, yo, at 14 years old, you should have been chasing girls in Woodbridge Mall?
So I was a little fat kid. I was heavier then than I was now. So girls definitely didn't want to talk to me. So I tried to figure out a way to make myself attractive. I figured cash was the way to it. So I started mowing lawns in a neighborhood, a pretty prestigious neighborhood. Word got around that, you know, we were doing a good job. We started getting contract after contract, started to have to hire friends to help us out. It was awesome. I mean, that was an awesome first start.
Yeah. So you went around mowing lawns. So you were like the landscaping genius.
Yeah, that's, we called it W&W landscaping. We tried to sound a lot more prestigious than we were.
Well, it's good. So it's you and some friends around the neighborhood or something just said, hey, you know what? Let's go get some extra cash and let's get this.
Yeah, pretty much. It was, it was me and a couple I was in middle school at the time. So it was me and a couple of my broke middle school friends trying to figure out how to get some cash so we could have some fun.
Oh, that's awesome, man. So, I mean, I'm going to fast forward, but I want to stay there for a little bit, William, because this is important with the mindset that you've created. Now, it was kind of a motivation. Hey, listen, girls, you know, I can't, you know, I'm kind of overweight, kind of a big kid. You know what? Let me go get some cash because I know girls love cash. That was your first motivation to get into business, or was there something else? Was your family in business or anything else that you could draw from, some inspiration?
So, I mean, girls was definitely a big part of it. I love the ladies for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I also, my mom, she's done a lot for me. So I always tried to just work hard so I could, you know, almost pay my own way.
Yeah.
To try to eliminate any burden I was on my own mom.
Yeah. So those are huge motivators. And I think that a lot of people kind of downplay, oh, girls, no, that's a great motivation because, you know, you turn it around into purpose after that. But it's a good thing to get you jump started into a different area of life, you know, or else you would have been with the rest of the kids in the mall and really just don't do anything. And there's another part that was so uncomfortable for you. And it was when you told your mom, right, that you were dropping out of college.
Oh, God, that was a rough day.
I'm sure.
So I had the luxury. I started business early. I was paying my own way through school. So, you know, it wasn't any sort of financial conversation. It was really just like herself. She was the first college educated, you know, kid under her parents. My two older sisters were in college, like in killing it. And I was doing so poorly in school that my options were either, you know, stop working on the business I was working on or stop going to school. And I chose to stay on the business because, you know, it was making money, not costing me anything.
And this business is what you're doing now when you decided to drop out of college. And before we get into that, let me just give you an official, because we just went right into it. When you said Elizabeth, New Jersey, we kind of like went right into it because you're a Jersey person just like me. You're only 15 minutes away from me down Route 1 and 9. But so I'm on the phone with William Weidrich, and I hope I say it right. If I didn't, please.
Oh, yeah. No, you nailed it.
All right, William Weidrich, also AKA, I love his AKA name, Billy Nubs. Sounds like a rapper, bro.
Billy Nubs.
And
like a rapper that doesn't rap.
Yeah, rapper that doesn't rap. Raps foil around money, okay? This guy raps his life together. gets it done. So, you're 26 years old now. William's 26 years old, runs a media conglomerate and services Fortune 100 and 500 companies, which is crazy huge. I went to the website smsdevelopmentllc.com. I went to the website. I quickly got taken to another website where you're running this media agency. I took a look around and I'm like, wow, I love what you guys are doing. And you're the COO of that company that you founded.
Yeah. I'm the COO. I make sure all the day-to-day stuff gets done. Our president, Ron, he's much more of like a public persona. He loves being out and with the people. So, I mean, it was a better position for him. Mm. The way we like to look at it is he plays offense and I play defense. And that's how we stay ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know what I love too is that you're playing the strengths of your personality type. A lot of people don't do that enough, right? They're not like the big out in the open person and they try to be and they're failing so bad at it. And it's like, yo, work your strengths, not your weakness, bro. Put someone in there, outsource the rest, and just work your strengths continually. So I'm very like excited that you said that. I think a lot more people need to hear that piece. Play your freaking position, but kill that position.
Exactly. I mean, I learned the hard way. You know, if you don't stay in your lane, you're going to end up broke. I lost so much money trying to do things that weren't my natural skill set. Mm. And you know what I mean? After you lose enough cash and it bonks you over the head enough times, eventually you sink in, you know, it sinks in with you. And it finally did with me. And that's when, I stopped trying to be a CEO and focus on my strength.
I freaking love that. A lot of people are struggling in the business and they, you know, we're losing a lot of money trying to do everything that everyone's doing, but we're not playing with our core competency. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Now, you moved to NC. You told your mom, you're like, mom, yeah, I can't do it. I'm like failing out, but I'm making things happen in my business. So I'm going to do it. And so you fully invested in yourself and finances into learning the entrepreneur game, right? So tell me, who did you learn from? You know, what kind of things were you doing to invest in yourself?
So I basically took like a shadow intern, like an unofficial internship under a guy that was at East Carolina University, the college I went to. He was throwing these big pool parties and doing it for these, you know, companies like Papa John's and Monster and Playboy and stuff like that. And he was basically my first mentor and taught me how to essentially do like event coordination. Mm. And, you know, he was graduating the next year and just told me, he was like, hey, like, I don't really have any reins to hand over to you, but if you want to do what I'm doing, go and create it. And I did that. I threw my first event was massive. And, it happened to be on the same day that a competitor was doing an event that I had no idea about. I was so green. I didn't even know who my competition was. And, you know, this event blew them out of the water. And, you know, an hour after I got home, I had a couple of voicemails on my phone from the owner of the other company. And he just broke it down. He was like, hey, I know you're new to this. Like I knew the guy, Justin, that you're working under. Let me offer you a position where you can work for me. It's a lot less risk. And, you know, and I kept my business, I kept it filed and kept it running, but it was essentially just like a non-operating entity. And I went and learned under this other guy for 2 years. I learned how to talk to big corporations. I learned how to, you know, we did the Pepsi Max, like launch party, and he like taught me how to work with products that aren't even out, you know, in public yet. I learned so much. I learned so much from that guy. And then, you know, I was not of drinking age when I was helping, you know, put together these big events. And, at a couple of these events, I did drink myself and I got in trouble for doing that. And I actually, you know, the city of Greenville made me leave the company that I was in.
Yeah.
And, I had to start my own company, and then it kind of grew from there. I just applied what I learned and laid it all out.
Yeah, so super dope. And here's two things that I took away from that. The first thing that you said that you know, strikes some gold in me is the fact that you didn't even know that there was a competitor that was hosting another event the same day. Now, imagine if you did know. I wonder if you would have kind of like felt like, you know, what are they doing? How are they doing it? I think that it benefits. It's just, I love the way the universe played your cards here, because I wondered if you knew, would you have pumped it and straight killed it in your own thing? Because I think once we know, it's like that law where if you watch the photon, if you're observing it, the photons change. You know, but if you don't know
right
there, it's killing it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it was a blessing in disguise. I didn't know it was going on. I probably would have psyched myself out. I mean, I was literally just figuring things out as I was going when I was putting that first event together.
Right.
So, I mean, it was, somebody was watching out, that's for sure.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And the second thing is, you know, the whole drinking issue, right? That came about, forced you to leave this thing that you probably still would have been in, or something still would have been connected to start your own thing. Now, again, I don't know about these cards, but they seem like they've been playing right to the way that you have been, you know, living your life. So I think that there's definitely that force that was, you know, handing you some blessings in disguise.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, I always like to say, you know, nothing happens on accident. So, you know, all the things, they might have sucked at the time being, but, you know, they built me into what I am now, and I'm much better off for it.
Yeah, and what I wanted to give to my comfort killers as a nugget is that is just that. Like, we look at these things as challenges and, oh shit, why did this happen to me? And, you know, why can't I get over this obstacle? But maybe it's that pivot to get you on the right path, to get you on purpose. So I appreciate that. So now you started your own thing. You're like, man, you hosted this huge event. You kind of crushed it, killed it. They contacted you. You're doing this. When do you now fully move over to your own thing?
So I, you know, I worked for that other company for 2 years. Right about the 2 year mark is when I had to leave. So, I mean, it was a week later, I had already filed a new LLC. I had, you know, was getting a website up. I wasted no time, you know, on my next step.
And and this is SMS Development Media Group.
So SMS is so I'm the COO of Fire Media Group. It's a conglomerate of event and like social media marketing companies and online and web. And SMS is just one of the companies that is under like the umbrella of Fire Media Group.
Okay, so, got it.
You know, that was our next step, and then, you know, I'm essentially like the step after SMS, or where it's under an umbrella.
No, that's, I get it. I totally get it. And so now, you know, you use the skills. Is it the same kind of core platform? You took over the skills from what you've learned in the last 2 years, and you applied it in your company?
So the SMS, it was kind of a culmination of everything that I had learned up to that point.
Yes.
I mean, with, you know, with the landscaping, I learned the benefit of doing a really good job and, you know, customer service. You know, with the events, I learned how to, you know, garner attention from big companies and things like that. And what SMS was, is it was a brand development firm. And, what we did is we helped companies that were having issues. Like, for example, Mark Cuban's company, Beatbox Beverages. We work with them on some pool events, you know, some big pool parties, helping them, you know, create a presence in places that they wanted market share. So it was, you know, kind of, you know, I had to use everything that I learned. I had to learn how to get big companies for sponsorships. I had to learn how to keep all the people happy. So, I mean, it's kind of just it was just the culmination of everything that had happened up to that point.
Yeah, and so now you're working with two mega, 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 mega people, and of course you're playing the position, and you're on defense, and you're killing it, and you have two other people out there making this company come alive. Now, what's the core of this company here in Fire?
So Fire Media Group, we really, the company is based off of getting people customers.
Okay.
And that's our goal, is, you know, all of the companies that we own, they're all based around customer acquisition and customer satisfaction.
Mm. Now, what's the systems like? What do you use to, of course, you know, if a company like the Comfort Killer says, okay, you know, we need some customers, and they pay for education, online education, they pay top dollar for online education and self-improvement and personal development. What's the system that you take our company through to acquire a customer?
So what we do first is we have a process called a discovery process.
Yep.
You know, and it's a series of questions that really, really break down your goals, what you're trying to, you know, what you're trying to accomplish, how you want people to perceive you, what you're currently doing now. It's just a series of questions like that. And then from there, based upon the information that we get, we do a little background, you know, work, and we run through your website and see what the fixable areas are. We run through your social media and we optimize it, and then if other things pop up, like an event would do well for you guys, or, you know, an online radio campaign would do well for you guys, we help put together that strategy as a whole.
Yeah.
And then we present it to you. We present it to you, and the parts that you like, we go with. The parts that you don't, we toss out and we revisit later.
And through, because I'm, you know, I know that your company will do well, especially with your experience with a lot of companies that need to kind of take it out of a simple ecosystem, because that's what's happening. I noticed that we're in this ecosystem. It's like we're stuck there, but there's more benefit of stepping outside of, well, the comfort zone, really. And so that's why I'm interested to know. So after you develop the strategy for these companies, now do you work with them to implement that strategy?
Yeah. So we're 100% hands-on company. We do all the work that we say is going to happen, so we can ensure that it gets done correctly and on time, and, you know, with as minimal issue as possible. So yeah, when a company hires us, they're essentially hiring like a team to come in and fix all the problem areas.
Awesome. Now that's great, because there is a lot of brand strategy, personal branding strategists that come and they give you the strategy. Strategy is great. And then companies are like, okay, well, our people, you remember, we're small entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, are like, okay, well, who's going to help me go to the next step? Okay. You just gave me a whole document. This is great, but, you know, I need to get to the next step.
That was a huge problem that we realized in the industry is, I mean, you can give people direction, but most people, they're going to take that, you know, that document, just stare at it and be in the same position they started with.
Right.
And that's not our goal here. Our goal is to help and get real results, not just shoot you over some ideas that we think will do you some benefit.
I love that. Comfort Killers, I am talking with William. You know what? I like the AKA, man. Billy Nubs. I'm talking to Billy Nubs. Before we get into the second half of the interview, let me just give you some key things that I just learned from William. This guy took the decision. Well, you made a decision. That's like, you know, at 14 years old, listen, I'm not going to go to the mall. I love girls, but I'm a chubby kid, man. I'm going to go get what they love, which is money. And I'm going to start this landscaping gig with a couple of my buddies here. And then I'm going to do the shadow internship, get uncomfortable, tell moms I can't finish college. I love this business life. And then the universe worked with him because he made some definitive decisions in his life. Only 26 years old. And, of course, now runs a media conglomerate and services Fortune 100 and 500 companies. This is huge. Before we move on, where could people find you? How could they locate you? Give them the socials.
So I'm Billy Nubs on every platform there is, just BILLYNUBZ, and there I am.
That's it. Keeping it very simple. Now let's get into some.
Oh yeah, I like to stay consistent.
Yeah, stay consistent, keeping it simple. And so here's we're in the next stage now, and of course, you're 26 years old, man. I took you seriously at 14 years old. I know that burning desire with fire. Yo, 14-year-olds, like, if you see someone make a decision like that, because that was me too, like doing other things to garner some money. But I love what you said, man. You learned about, you use your landscaping to learn about quality work, and then you use your other deal to garner attention. And these are skills that you're holding. Now, what are some of your systems that you do on a daily basis to run your business or to run your life? It's a whole lifestyle change. And a lot of people, they have a mindset block on if they could even do it or not. your mindset seemed to have clicked very early on to say, you know what? I'm about attracting money and helping others versus working for someone else. And I love that that happened for you. But so what are some things you do in your day-to-day to keep you inspired, to keep you motivated?
So, you know, circling back to being a chubby kid, every morning now for an hour and a half, I wake up at 6, I work out for an hour and a half. And, you know, I just burn, I like to just feel good before I start the day. You know, I pretty much eat the same breakfast every day, you know, bacon, eggs, toast, just keep it simple.
Yep.
And then I get to work. I run through all the maintenance stuff, you know, maintaining the empire.
Yeah.
Just, you know, making sure all of our clients are happy, making sure everything's updated. And then from there, I usually have a meeting about noon with the other two owners of the company. We run through all the projects we have going on, what needs to be done to move next. And then everything else past that, it really stems from that meeting. And then I fill out my whole Google Calendar and then I get to work.
Nice. So it's very systematic. I love systems. I love routines that are positive routines.
I don't think any of this would be plausible without a routine, to be honest. I mean, there's so many little things that you really do have to pay attention to on, you know, if you are trying to become successful.
Yeah.
That if you let the little stuff slip, it's going to cause you problems, and you know, it's going to cause you problems in the long.
Yeah, the little things become big problems if we
don't
keep an eye on them.
Exactly. And it's usually stuff like little tasks that'll take you a minute or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That just get overlooked. You know, it's stuff like that that'll trip you up too.
Yeah. Give me a book that kind of done it for you, you know, an entrepreneur, a couple books. I hate asking people for their one book because I know it's never one. Just give me a book that meant a lot for you or something you're reading now that we could share with our comfort killers.
So there's two that are kind of on the same plane for me. One of them is Crucial Conversations, and I'm pretty sure it was like a college textbook at one point, but now it's like a normal, just like paperback book. But it teaches you how to handle really tough, like communication issues.
Yeah.
And communication is the thing that keeps you alive in business. I mean, it really is all relationships and systems. So I mean, yes. The systems part is easy. It's just staying consistent. The relationships part is a constant work. So I mean, learning the ins and outs of how to keep people happy and how to not get walked over, you know, at the same time is a huge key to getting where you want to go.
No, absolutely. What's the second?
So the second book is Jerry Weintraub's I'll Stop Talking When I'm Dead. Mm-hmm. And Jerry, the whole book is just tells you how to attract a crowd. And I always like to tell everybody, once you have the crowd, the rest is easy.
I love that. I love that. And I'm taking notes because these are two books that I haven't heard of. You know, communication is very huge on my, you know, my charts. I love communication. I love all aspects of communication. So I'm definitely going to check that one out. And I love I'll Stop Talking When I'm Dead. I just love the title, man. It's awesome. But like you said about the crowd piece. And once you have the crowd, so I think these two books are definitely going to get picked up today. So thank you so much for that nugget.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're going to get into your goals because, you know, I love reverse engineering, crazy big goals. These right here are crazy as well. So your top three goals is one, grow your company to 100 clients per year. How many do you have now, roughly?
So right now we only have about a dozen clients. Okay. Our clients are usually bigger ticket. So, you know, it's okay for that.
Yeah.
But if we can do the big ticket and get to triple digit clients, then sky's the limit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What do you think needs to happen for you to get that? So you're blowing it up times 10, right? So what needs to happen as far as your work ethic? Does that need to change? Do you need to get more people in? How do you think you're supposed to get 100 more?
So we actually just had a meeting about this on Monday, like really how we get to this point. And it really is, we have to hire about like 20 some odd people. We've got to provide more value to our clients.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to go meet with them all individually and make sure that everything is is on point. If there's anything that needs to be changed, go ahead and address that immediately.
Yeah.
And really from there, you know, these big companies all talk to each other. They're all friends. So once you make someone really happy, they'll have no problem referring you to another big company, and then it goes and goes and goes from there.
Nah, I love it. I love it. You said some things that are very practical, but also unreasonable in the scope. You know, no one wants to dish out more to get more because they don't see the value in, hey, let me hire some more people so I can get this goal. But you write a big goal down, you have to reverse engineer that shit. So I appreciate those. And the next one is becoming a multi-millionaire, man. You're like, you want to run away from the middle class. Being a millionaire, being in the middle class. So you want to be a multimillionaire. Have you reverse engineered that?
Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of goes hand in hand with the 100 clients goal.
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, if those will kind of happen at the same time is my goal.
Yeah.
And then, so, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing, just from two different sides of the coin.
Yeah. Absolutely. So these goals align. I love that. And what your lifestyle is getting your abs back, which is funny, right? He's like, I want my abs back. So. No, that's amazing, though. An hour and a half. What do you think you need to do to get that? You know, get a trainer. What are you thinking?
So my only issue is I work a lot. I work about 12 or 13 hours a day, and it takes a lot of fuel to keep going. And sometimes I don't pick the best fuel.
Yeah.
So it's really just, I need to make better personal choices about my diet is really all I need to do there.
I love it.
Do it consistently.
I love it because, you know, what I notice is that it's easy for us to put goals on a piece of paper, but when we ask each other how we're going to attain it, there's no plan, there's no nothing, there's no thought. It's just like, you know what, I'm going to just hum to death, right, and meditate it and put it on a vision board. But really, you need an actionable plan. And that's what I want to show to my comfort killers, that as easy as you wrote them on there, you had a plan to attain these things. So that's awesome, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you have a goal with no plan behind it, you essentially just have an idea, and we know what ideas are worth. So that's all I'll say about that.
That's it. Now, this is specifically the last question in the last segment, but this is specifically to help our comfort killers out in different areas in business. Mostly in business, because there's a lot of entrepreneurs that are comfort killers that want to get from zero to one, from A to B, or whatever the case may be, you know. So there's a lot of talk around social media marketing, right? What do you put your social media marketing for companies that are starting out? What do you think they should do is on the social media to get their name out there, or maybe to personally brand themselves?
So really and truly, I mean, you got to have a very consistent image. You got to have purpose behind what you're putting up online. You got to have a purpose behind your messaging. And keep it all consistent with what your brand truly is, because on social media, the goal is to never sell anybody on anything. It's to make them buy in. You showcase what you have, you showcase them what you can do. And then once they see that, they want a part of it. And then they made the sale themselves, and you were just there.
I love it. I love that nugget. Anything else that you want to share with us? Something that maybe I didn't touch on that you had, you know, a burning desire to share with us?
So you were talking about a lot of entrepreneurs trying to go from A to B, you know, just zero to something.
Yeah.
A lesson that I learned that really helps you get a jump start, and that most people are going to hate to hear, is your first couple of clients, maybe your first 10 or 15 clients, you got to do all the work for free. I mean, no one wants to pay for a product they're not sure of that doesn't have proven results.
Yes.
And, you know, you have to suck it up for a little while, and it will suck. It'll end up costing you some money or whatever, but you're never going to grow a company if you can't create some advocates first.
You need those testimonies, though, Brody, you know?
Testimonies make it.
yeah, you need those.
You can build a whole company off good testimonies.
Right, absolutely. No, yeah, you're absolutely right. You gave me some nuggets, too, moving into the next year. And, you know, looking back at the Comfort Killers, we're about a year and some change old, right? I just actually gave birth to the company a few months ago. And so pretty much it's like, you know, what you're telling me helps us too, and helps us collaborate and grow some more. So I appreciate that, William.
I'm always happy to help, Stacey.
Yeah, I know. Hey, William, I just want to know, bro, because I mean, I'm very passionate about the terminology, the comfort killer. So I just want to know, and the comfort killers here want to know, William, aka Billy Nubs, are you a comfort killer, bro?
You're goddamn right.
I love it so much. William, thank you so much for spending some time. I hate that word. Let's invest some time together.
Some time. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, investing some time together. And you know what? No matter the challenges, the obstacles, as you can see, we had some technicalities, but we were able to overcome it. We are comfort killers. We go through our day. We own it. We crush it. And all the information from today's episode will be involved in the show notes. So you guys can always tap back and tap into and tap through. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Stacey A. Cross. And there is no E in my name. Until next time, comfort killers.